Beer, movies, and shite. Time for parents' night. Hey, time for parents' night.
How's it going, dude?
Pop-Tart.
What town are we in tonight? Fucking Boston, dude?
Burger.
Are we in Quincy, dude? Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Parents' Night In here at Enough.com.
Sup, bro?
What's up, kid? We're watching Good Will Hunting, starring Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and Robin Williams, Minnie Driver. When did you first see this movie?
When it was in the theater.
Did you see it in the theater?
Yeah, pretty sure.
I did too, and I loved it right away.
What year did it come out?
97.
Nope, definitely did not see it in the theater in 97.
Okay, then. I was in fucking college. Actually, I wasn't even in college.
I was in fucking college.
I was just out of college when this came out. I was working at the movie theater, though, so we saw it for how much?
Free!
It was the movie that sparked a revolution in Hollywood of people actually being able to do a Boston accent convincingly.
Not everybody.
Not everyone, but I'm saying...
But an improvement.
This one was the one that started it all, because every movie that took place in Boston before this where people tried to do the accent couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It took two local boys to be like, hey, dude, here's how you do the fucking Boston accent, you cock.
All right, is this what it's going to happen? I mean, are you going to be using, like,
music
terrible...
supervisor, Jeffrey Kimball, dude.
Are we going to be using absolutely deplorable
music
language?
Music by Danny Elfman. Fuck you. Smart pack.
I am not going to enjoy this process. If you're just going to be a masshole the entire
time. Packed it. Director of photography. Chris Moore.
This is only fun for you. I'm just letting you
Why
know.
Why is this not fun for you? It's funny.
Because I can't say anything.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to read the credits.
Why not?
Because that's not what we do on Parents' Night In.
It is tonight. You know they're not going to last forever.
The credits?
The credits, yeah.
You know what I always like about watching movies that are filmed locally is that, like, when they're in a Dorchester neighborhood or whatever, I just sort of feel home. And I look at it and I'm like, do other people look at this and think, Jesus, who could live in a place like that? I mean, I didn't grow up in Dorchester, but my aunt lived there. And
your mom lived there.
Well, my mom grew up in Dorchester, but not while I was alive. But we visited Dorchester a lot as kids.
I lived in Dorchester for a couple of years.
Yes, you did. Not far from Auntie Alice.
That's Stellan Skarsgård as an MIT professor. Stellan Skarsgård, father of Bill Skarsgård. He should have come out and said, is this your proof on the blackboard, Will? Take it. Take it.
He can't take the blackboard, Justin.
Why not? He could unscrew it.
It's getting weird.
He's mechanically inclined. Gus the Graff? Is that like a cartoon character?
I don't think it's...
Hey, everybody! I'm Gus the Graff! I'm here to help you prove theorems!
Wow.
L Street Tavern. I must have driven by that place a million times shortly after this movie came out, and it already had the sign that said, favorite spot of Good Will Hunting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a nice place.
Yeah, they redid it.
Because all tourists want to see it. They should have left it the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
So that people could see it as it was.
Look at the old red line seats. Yeah, the long, hard bench.
That wasn't even the red line back then. I think even by the time I got to Boston in the early 90s, they didn't look like that anymore.
I want to point out what you just said.
What?
Boston. Okay, yeah. People of the world who don't live in Boston. It's not Boston. No. It's not B-A-H-S-T-I-N. Nope. Don't write it like that. Don't say it like that. It's B-A-W-S-T-I-N. S-T-I-N. Boston. Not Boston. Yeah. Boston. Boston like Austin Powers.
Fucking Austin Powers, Jude.
Do you say Austin, Texas? No, you don't. You say Austin, Texas. Well, we say Austin.
Yeah.
Lots of other people say things like Austin, Texas.
Austin. Steve Austin.
Oh, I'm sorry I said Austin.
Austin 316 says I just whooped your ass. Look, they're all visiting Gus the Graff.
Hey, everybody. 272372127. Debt 2i minus 2aij underscore.
None of those things are on that board.
No, on the right. They're pulling up to start some shit.
Uh-oh.
Start some shit.
Not going.
Shut up, Morgan. You're going.
I like how they don't even park the car. They just leave it in the middle of the street.
They don't what?
Park the car. You know why? They didn't have Smart Pack.
They didn't have Smartpak.
Yeah, if they had had Smartpak, this whole fight would have gone a little bit better. They would have been like, all right, hit the Smartpak button. I'm going to kick this guy's ass, and then I'm going to get back in the car, and I'm going to hit the Smartpak button, and it's going to retrieve it, and then I'm going to get in the car, and I'm going to drive away.
You're going to meet up with an MTV girl?
Charlene.
Charlene.
Casey does not look like Ben. I don't feel like they look...
No, I see the
There's a resemblance, yes, but like...
You can tell they're brothers.
But yeah, but when you watch this movie, you're not like, oh, look at them.
It's they're different enough that you're not distracted by, like, he's clearly his brother, except in the movie he's not.
Like, right, he's his brother playing his friend. Like, right. They look... That's what I was trying to say. They look different enough.
Yeah. Well, it helps that Casey Affleck has that weird 90s sad clown hair.
Sad clown hair.
You know where they're walking around right now? Oh, Harvard Square.
Harvard Square. Harvard Square is 195% different now than it was totally back then. It's totally different.
I worked there the year after this came out. I ended up transferring to the Harvard Square movie theater.
Mm.
And it was just a really cool area to be in. It was a pain in the ass to get to.
It is a pain. Harvard's a pain to get to. But once you're there, you don't want to leave because it's such a good area.
It's such a good area.
And even now, like, it's completely different, but there's some cool stuff there.
I took the MassHave bus from Tower Records to Harvard Square.
Jesus. How long did that take?
It was like 45 minutes.
Talk about a commute.
Maybe less. It was quicker than taking the T.
Mm.
Who's that?
Hi, Skyla.
Hi, Skyla. So this character, Skyler, is based on a girl that Matt Damon actually dated in, I think, college.
Yeah.
Or shortly after college. And you know who she ended up marrying and then later divorcing?
Is there any chance I'm actually going to guess this?
Probably not.
Okay, then go.
Lars Ulrich.
Yeah, definitely was not going
Matt Damon's ex-girlfriend married Lars Ulrich and then later divorced him. Pretty crazy.
This blonde guy's the douchiest of douche.
Yep. Michael Bolton clone. I don't know why I went into a Paul McCartney voice.
It was very random.
It was weird. The Michael Bolton clone acted all snobby dobby doo. Will is wearing a very tattered t-shirt.
Very, yeah.
And has a cut on his mouth from the fight. And yet Skyler's like, oh my God, he's so handsome and sexy.
And smart.
And smart. And I want to do him in my dorm while I study medicine. The guy's like talking shit and trying to embarrass Ben Affleck. And then Will's like, oh, I read that book too.
Like cites the page number and everything.
It's great. I wish I had that kind of memory.
You're close.
I wish I had that kind of memory for things not wrestling.
Yeah. You don't have that kind of memory for books. You have it for wrestling and movies.
Yeah. Oh, we gonna plagiarize the whole third scene from fucking Star Wars A New Hope for us? Where Leia goes, the Senate will not sit still for this when they hear you've attacked a diplomatic mission.
This has been fun. I have to divorce you now. I'm not gonna divorce you.
Rude.
If I divorce you, what's gonna happen to all my podcast money?
Skyla finds his Total Recall sexy. Why don't you find it for me? Her accent's so hot.
Yeah. She's like uber compelling.
She is.
How can you not stare at her when she's on screen?
Yep. She's got that jaw.
Yeah.
And does this really cute little thing with her mouth where she sort of swirls her words a little bit.
What does it look like? This? What if I did that? If I was like, Justin, do you really like it when
you,
I do
you don't
this?
Have it. You don't quite have it down.
You don't have it.
No.
Hold on. Justin.
This is one of the great lines. Do you like apples? Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples? You know how you ruin that scene? When he goes, do you like apples? You just go, nah, not really.
I'm allergic.
Well, I'm going to bang that girl, so screw you.
Oh, that's the Longfellow Bridge.
Yeah, it is.
I do that commute every day.
You know, it's funny. Wow. They wouldn't drive the Longfellow Bridge to get to Southie from Harvard Square, would they?
Yep.
I don't know about that. I think they would drive Mass Ave, wouldn't they? They just take Mass Ave all the way.
I mean, I guess it depends on where you're going, but
I think that's bullshit.
If you're anywhere near Tech Square or Kendall.
But you're not.
Right, but if for some reason they went over in that direction. Oh, yeah. MIT's right there.
Yeah, but he wasn't at MIT. He was at Harvard.
Okay, fine. But MIT's by the Longfellow. Maybe he had to stop by work on the way home.
Okay.
Maybe that's the way he knows how to get home. Maybe he knows some back roads.
This is fucking horseshit. You take Mass Ave all the way. It's a straight shot. The mechanic in this scene is not at all from Boston and probably should have been recast with someone from Boston because he's like, and this is Professor Hayes.
Not terrible.
He's clearly from New York.
I was going to say, he sounds like he's from New York, but...
This is Professor Hayes.
Is it possible,
Who
Justin?
Who the fuck are you?
Now, let me ask you a question.
Hey, Professor Gerald Lambeau.
What?
Is it possible?
Why don't you like my voices anymore?
Is it possible?
What?
Justin, just shadow of a doubt that maybe this mechanic was born and raised in New York and transplanted to Boston?
Nope.
Not possible?
They would never do that.
So...
You know why?
Every single person who you run across in Boston every single day sounds like an asshole. Every last
every
one of them.
Person. They would never give a job like that to a New Yorker.
A what?
A New Yorker. Because Yankees suck. Am I right? Am I right? Ma'am?
Ma'am?
Ibid, Your Honor.
That guy is very Boston.
Totally.
He's got the look.
He's got the accent, too, with the, like, almost speech impediment.
Oh, yeah. Had the case thrown out.
Yeah, like, his R's are so gone that they're W's.
Thrown, yeah.
Thrown.
You had the case thrown out.
I work with somebody like that.
Well, there's a lot of people around here like that.
Well, like, what would you call that?
Oh.
Like, that's such a weird offshoot of
I mean, it is sort of a speech impediment,
It sort of is, but it's like, I'm looking at this rap sheet of yours. I just can't believe it.
Yeah. Rap sheet. That's a pretty common...
It is. They drop the beginning R's.
I can't remember if we've talked about this on here before, if we've had this conversation just in general with other people, but there's this weird phenomenon in the area where people, instead of saying fork or fork,
fawk.
They say fawk.
Yeah.
And hoss.
Hoss.
And potato.
Potato.
But hoss and fawk
relatives
are really weird.
Relatives of yours have said all three.
Yes. I have relatives that say hoss and fawk.
Yeah.
And almond.
Now, I have a relative that says almond.
My dad does it, too.
Does he?
Yeah. Hey, are you going to eat that almond cake with your fork?
Want some hoss?
Are you still hungry? I can give you some more hoss. We don't eat horse.
I was thinking of the drug, but okay.
Oh.
Drugs.
That sad clown hair that Matt Damon has here is also a very popular hairstyle of the time.
Very 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
He and Leo really rocked that hairstyle around this time.
Yeah.
Leo's in Titanic was not unlike this. Actually.
Except Leo's
It was more like 1920s, but it still had
it didn't
floppy...
come as far forward.
Yeah, it still had that floppy front. They call that like curtains.
Really?
Yeah, I was looking it up.
Yeah!
Yeah! Like short...
It's curtains for
short,
you.
Short underneath, but like curtains on top.
Did the barber say, what kind of haircut would you like today? And then they explain, he goes, it's curtains for you.
Yeah.
It's curtains, I tell you.
Here's what's going to happen, see? You're going to get curtains. It's curtains for you.
So he ended up in court because he's a Because
he beat
jerko.
Up a cop.
So. And the whole New York mechanic thing that we just discussed was because Professor Lambeau just went looking for him.
Yeah, because Professor Lambeau is like, he's the genius who solved the thing on the blackboard that said,
that said,
I'm Gus the Graff.
What's Gus's voice sound like again?
I'm Gus the Graff.
I think it's changed several times. Gus is a mysterious being of math.
Yeah.
He wants to mentor him because he's a math genius. But he also, as a catch, has to see a therapist for his violent tendencies. So he decided he's going to read the therapist's book and just fuck with him. And this therapist is played by George Plimpton, who is a Boston fixture. I forget what like his...
Isn't he like a Masterpiece Theater guy?
Yeah, maybe.
Was that a Boston thing?
Yeah. He's definitely from Boston. He's got the
Why
accent.
Why did I think Masterpiece Theater was like a...
It was PBS.
Oh.
Yeah. I think that's how we knew him.
Because then Sesame Street did Masterpiece Theater. Monsterpiece Theater.
Monsterpiece Theater.
There was Masterpiece Theater on
No,
Disney.
Masterpiece Theater was Alistair Cook. But this guy was in something on
He
PBS.
Was like that.
Yeah.
Let's look him up.
Because when I saw this movie, I was like, I know that guy. Why do I know that guy?
Kelly looks stuff
Just look up
on Google, you cock.
look up George Plimpton.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I thought you were looking up Masterpiece
That was
Theater.
Very mansplainy of you,
hey,
Justin.
Kelly. His name's George Plimpton.
Hey, isn't that George Plimpton? Wasn't he on like Masterpiece Theater or something? I don't know. I'm going to look up. Hey, Kelly, look up George Plimpton. G-O-K.
Hey, Kelly, when you get like offended like that, it's really because of your hormones.
Mm-hmm. Did you say he was a Boston fixture? Because he was born and died in New York City.
Then he definitely spent a lot of time here because he has a Boston-ish accent.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, dear boy. What? My dear boy, what on earth are you talking about?
He's a prolific screenwriter.
He's from New York?
He's a screenwriter. Oh. This is a different, this has to be a different Plimpton. Right. That's George H. Plimpton.
Oh.
Different guy.
Jesus Christ, Kelly. Hey, Kelly, that mansplaining thing I was doing, I think it was useful.
Shut up. However, this George Plimpton,
However, I was right about one thing. His name was George Plimpton. Asshole.
And he born and died in New York City.
And he born? Wow. Hey, Kelly. Time for more mansplaining. He born is missing a verb. What an asshole.
Isn't born a verb?
Not in that case, no.
I'm really gonna pee. Can you... He was born and died in New York City.
This is the other George Plimpton?
He lived until 2003.
2003?
Yep. He went to Harvard University.
Oh, so he did spend time in Boston.
And then the University of Cambridge, not Massachusetts.
What was his, like, claim to fame?
I'm looking. He was the U.S. Deputy Ambassador to the United Nations from 1961 to 1965. Oh. Appointed by John F. Kennedy.
Well, he was friends with John F. Kennedy. Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. That was the first time I had heard of that song.
Me too.
And then Ron Burgundy made it even better. This is, in my estimation, Robin Williams' greatest performance. This is the one that won Robin Williams what? An Oscar.
At Harvard, Plimpton was a classmate and close personal friend of RFK. Plimpton, along with former decathlete Rafer Johnson and American football star Rosie Grier, was credited with helping wrestle Sirhan Sirhan to the floor.
Wow.
I literally can't find anything interesting that he did that we would have known him from.
It had to have been a children's show or something, because I feel like I knew him.
Was he on Sesame Street, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Did he? No, Monster Peace Theater was a monster.
We just talked about this.
No, I was just thinking, was he the host of Monster Peace Theater?
Cookie Monster was.
Okay, I
Alistair Cookie.
That's right. Masterpiece Theater. He was Masterpiece Theater.
He wasn't Masterpiece Theater.
I fucking knew it.
On what?
Disney.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. I didn't have Disney. It solves the problem for you, but not for me.
Nope. Sorry. Would you like me to keep Googling? No, this is really tedious.
Kelly, I'll look it up later because I actually want to talk about this movie that we're watching. Jesus.
So you can mansplain more things to me?
So that you can get them wrong. What are you drinking, Kelly?
I am drinking Tesoro della Regina. It is a Prosecco.
I'm drinking Night Shift, Night Live.
How is it?
It's a oatmeal stout. It's very good. Sean is just trying to get anything out of Will, and Will is just shutting him out. Will's just trying to pick him apart, and Sean's like, yeah, I see what you're doing, but I'm still going to try to get through to you, even though you're being a douchebag. Keep pushing, kid. Hey, kid.
As a kid who grew up with Robin Williams playing Mork.
Yep.
And then, you know, my next like sort of super big memory of him was Aladdin. But like growing up and seeing him in these really fun and goofy roles and Mrs. Doubtfire and all those things, seeing him in a role like this was just so fantastic.
Yes.
Because you're like, oh, it's Robin Williams. And then you're sort of sitting there like, when's he going to be funny? And then,
he is funny.
Right, but then you realize it doesn't really matter. He doesn't need to be a clown to be amazing.
It's not.
He's amazing just because he's amazing.
He's funny in this movie in a very real way instead of in a goofy way. I think my first experience seeing Robin Williams in something not just zany was Dead Poets Society. Dead Poets Society was the first thing that was, he was very subdued and real.
Yeah.
And he had moments of Robin Williams, but they were few and far between.
He is a rare genius.
He's wonderful.
Yeah, he's a rare genius. Like, there is no one in the world that you can point to and say, I would put him on the same level. It's such a great moment. He goes from, like, calm to just raging mad.
He goes from trying to get through to this kid and be friendly and shit to, you hit my fucking limit and I will break your fucking neck if you do that again.
Right.
And that's where... That is where Will respects him.
Right. But not only that, if you were to rewind that and watch it again, after he lets go of Will's neck and Will walks away, his face goes from full-on anger
to complete
and total sadness.
Yeah.
And there's no cut.
Yep.
It doesn't cut away. Yeah. It doesn't return. He's able to go from calm to fucking rage to absolute total
disappointment. I can't believe I let him get to me like that.
Yeah.
Yes. This little shit.
Like, look at him. Look at his eyes right now and think about what they looked like 30 seconds ago.
Right.
I remember seeing him in like 1 hour photo and creepy things like that.
Yeah, he's so creepy.
So creepy.
Yeah. And I think in order to be as much of a comedic genius as Robin Williams was, you have to be able to go to those really dark places, because that's how he was in life. Like,
right.
He was a really dark person.
Yeah.
As it turns out.
Right. All of us sort of thought the dark part was what he was turning on.
Right. No.
But it was probably him turning off the Zane.
Yes. And that's said about a lot of really genius comics, is that they're underneath, they're really dark people.
Well, I think an artist in general, you have to be able to allow yourself to be vulnerable in ways that most people block off.
Right. I was so happy that he won the Oscar for this, because I was like, if anyone else wins this Oscar, it's fucking criminal. Because
who was he up against?
Burt Reynolds in Boogie Nights, which he was great in that.
He was great in that, but he was no fucking Robin Williams.
No. But like, I didn't disagree with the nomination. Like, he was really good in that.
I love this whole scene of them in like the joke shop and trying on the different glasses and stuff. It's so cute.
Yes.
It's such a fun like first date kind of thing.
Yes. They have really good like goofy, we're just making each other laugh kind of chemistry.
Yeah.
And each of them throws out a joke and the other one just rolls with it.
Right.
Kind of like us.
Yeah. Honestly, they're so like natural.
Yeah. And they actually ended up dating after this.
Yeah. Not surprising. She's got a great laugh.
Yes, she does.
She's got a great laugh because it's not like...
Oh, well, she has a very
natural,
deep, husky voice. Mm. I think I got some of your pickle. You're going to get some of his pickle. Go!
Mm-hmm.
Who else was nominated that year? I think Russell Crowe for L.A. Confidential was nominated.
Yeah.
Oh, Greg Kinnear for As Good As It Gets. Like, he was good, but...
He was good.
Come on. So that's four of them. I don't remember who the fifth one was.
It's a really long walk from Bunker Hill.
It sure is.
To the Public Garden.
To the Public Garden.
Just saying.
Jesus.
If you're not from Boston, map it. Go to Google Maps, type in the address, and map it. It's like miles.
Yeah.
Through highways.
Yeah.
Like, you either have to go over a bridge or under a highway.
But you'd have to take the orange line to the green line.
That's true. They probably took the T.
Yeah, but that's still...
It's still really long.
That's really convoluted there, Sean. Just to take him to a scenic place. Just take him outside.
It would be kind of awesome if Bunker Hill Community College was right on the Public Garden. It'd
be amazing. I'd go
They're very dichotomous. Is that a word?
Dichotomous? I don't think that's a word.
It's the dichotomous hippopotamus. Oh! Well, you have Gus the Graff.
No, the dichotomous hippopotamus should sound like,
oh, I'm very light and airy. Except that I'm actually very large, because I'm a large mammal. I'm dichotomous.
Wow.
Do you see?
I was picturing mine wearing a tux.
Oh, okay.
Hello!
Sounds too much like Gus the Graff.
Does it?
Quite honestly.
Hello!
It's not really that different.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm the dichotomous hippopotamus. I'm sassy.
What's the dichotomy there?
What? it's my name. I don't know.
Oh. I don't know what it means. People just call me that. Might be because I'm only 3 inches tall. That's dichotomous, I think.
Despite the sound of my voice. I want to come back.
This is an amazing scene.
Yeah, let's come back to the scene. So it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And after Robin Williams died, the bench where this scene took place became a makeshift memorial. Oh, and if you go there, really? To this day, there's like stuff there.
Really?
People have written on the bench. They've written on the ground. There was chalk memorials everywhere. Mm-hmm. If you have not been to Boston... And you come to Boston, please go to the Public Garden. It is a beautiful, beautiful park. And then you'll find the bench if you wander through.
It's a great scene because it's basically Sean saying, you're a little fucking punk. And I let you get to me, but here's why I shouldn't have. And here's why me thinking about what happened the other day is, like, so ridiculous because you don't know fucking jack shit about life.
Like, you don't know shit about shit.
I have been through so much shit you could never, ever comprehend or handle, and here's why you're a little shit.
Right. And you sort of watch him get taken down. Will's, like, he starts the conversation really cocky.
Yep.
And he, you kind of see him like, oh, shit, he's
He plays
right.
the scene beautifully, too.
Yeah, like, I'm basically an ant.
It's Robin Williams' moment, but it's, like, Matt Damon plays it perfectly. Because he just has to sit there and take it and be like, fuck, he's right. He's right about all of it.
And it's interesting because he could get up and walk away.
Yep.
Any punk probably would. It's like having a conversation with your little brother or sister and being like, listen, you're kind of an asshole.
Right.
And then, you know, usually the sibling gets up and says, fuck you, you're not my mom, and then right. leaves. And he could be like, fuck you, you're not my dad.
He just sits there and takes it and gulps and looks around nervously. And
there's no eye contact.
No.
And then he just leaves.
Yep.
Where's my tea fair? I ain't got no tokens.
You may have got to fucking walk to Southie from here.
I'm nowhere near MIT or Southie.
Fuck. This was one of the earliest DVDs I bought, and it had a commentary track of Matt and Ben. And Matt was talking about his whole approach to that scene and, like, how hard it was. It was like, I had to just sit there and listen to him.
Right.
I had to basically not react to anything he was saying, except right. I still had to convey all that.
Right.
He was like, that was a great lesson in acting.
Yeah.
Was just sitting there and listening to him rip me apart.
I need to go throw cement blocks off of a roof. That looks wicked fun.
I need to go throw cement blocks into the toilet from my butt.
What?
I thought that's what you were going for.
That's what you thought I was going for.
That's where you were going.
Is that the kind of thing that I would say to you often?
I have a cement block in my anus.
What? It
needs to come out.
What is even happening right now?
What is happening? I don't
know. Who are you?
Who am I?
Where am I?
Hey.
What is this?
Hey, Chief.
In real time, people. That was in real time. You should be shot.
I should be shot?
Shot.
Shot. Another judge might care. But you hit a cop. You're going in.
So here's where they have their Mexican standoff,
Super
basically.
Story.
Sean is like, all right, I said my piece. It's time for him to say something.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
That was a good one. So in other parts of the country, it would be like, yeah, it is. But in Boston, right. we say, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to get a pizza and a beer. There's an R in pizza, but not in beer.
There's an R in pizza only if it precedes the word and.
Right. Like, I'm going to get a margarita and a taco.
Right.
What do you want to drink? Margarita. Oh, wait. I want a margarita and a taco.
Right.
We're weird. We are weird people in Boston.
Well, as Louis C.K. said, it's not so much an accent, it's an entire region of people pronouncing most words wrong.
With an agreed-upon speech impediment.
Yes. I want to take you out again, Skylar, in spite of that bow in your hair.
You know what I like?
Are you a present?
I like how straightforward she is. She's just like, we had a good time, you didn't call me.
Right. But not in a douchey way.
She's like, not, like, not in like a,
she's like,
hi!
Oh, well, you know, yeah. we had a really good time. I really thought you'd call.
Right. There are stereotypical girls that would be like, oh my God, hi, how are you? And like, we had such a good time. Touch my boobs so that you're looking at it.
That would work on me.
Pretty much any guy. She's like, that's the great thing. Is like, she's not desperate.
He saw Aww. Like an image on her computer or something and memorized it and did her homework for her. So he was like, okay, your homework's done. Let's go. Let's go out. I'm a fucking genius from Southie, dude. Let's go fucking look at dogs.
So he says to her, you're not going to be in surgery tomorrow. And then he takes her to the dog track.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderland.
It's not there anymore.
Wonderland's not there anymore. Hey, Justin.
What?
The only thing in this movie that's still here is Harvard.
Pretty much. So what's funny about this scene, he talks about his brothers. He says, I have 12 brothers, and then he names them all twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so convincing that the first time I saw this, I was like, oh, he actually has 12 brothers. Like, I fell for it. And then only later in the movie, I was like, oh, right, he has no brothers. He lives by himself. What are you talking about? That's where he's talking about meeting his wife. He gave up going to the Red Sox in the World Series to go have a drink with some girl.
That he never met.
He never met. He was like, I don't care. She was beautiful, and I had to meet her. I had to talk to her. So fuck the stupid Sox.
Do you know what the name of my wine means?
Fuck the Sox?
It's called Tesoro. Della Regina.
Something about the king or the queen.
Treasure of the queen.
Treasure of the queen. What am I drinking, Kelly?
Treasure of the townie.
Just townie. You just say townie. Townie, how fun. From our local brewery, Barrel House Z.
Barrel House Z.
I figure it's St. Patty's Day time.
Yeah, you gotta have the Irish beer.
Fucking Irish red.
Yeah, I went Italian. You know why? Solidarity.
With Italy during this crisis?
Yes.
I see.
They're all quarantined.
There, she did it right there. It is decidedly so.
Yeah.
How come we never say your place? And he's like, good. I don't like my place. Making excuses.
None of those were words.
Well, he's ashamed of his place is the reason.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to say that.
Because he lives in a garbage heap.
It's a shithole.
He, like, it looks like where the Fraggles used to bump into that giant garbage heap.
If Will was dating a homeless woman, she'd be like, no, we're staying at my place tonight.
Yeah.
Jesus, Will. This is another one of those on-screen relationships that you're like, of course this turned into a real relationship.
Right. They just have such good chemistry.
It's bizarre to me that Kate and Leo didn't.
Yeah, there's always these conversations about, like, them talking about how much they love each other and...
No, they're really good friends, but yeah. They never actually dated.
Yeah.
I don't see how that's possible. He finally took her out to meet his friends at the L Street Tavern, and they're all drinking fucking beers. What beer is that? Some of them are drinking Guinness, but there's a couple of
that looks like movie beer.
Yeah, it's fake beer.
Like fake movie beer?
Fake bruise.
Okay.
Fake bruise.
It's the weekend.
Oh, sorry.
We have a strict no Trump voices on the weekend rule. Or hump right. day or it's, Mondays.
No, hump day is okay between noon and four.
That's right.
That's what we decided.
When I'm not in the same room with you anyway, so it's perfect.
Two of those are Strohs.
Oh, yeah. They're sharing stories.
That's not around anymore, right? I've never seen it in my adult life. Mm. But, like, my parents used to drink it.
Nope. I think it's like Schlitz.
You should look it up on Google.
Spell it.
Stroh apostrophe S.
Would have been way more fun if you said G-O-O-G.
Oh, shit. I missed a golden opportunity.
Was a beer company located in Detroit. Schlitz came from them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
In addition to its own Stroh's brand, the company produced or bought the rights to several other brands, including Gerbel, Schaefer, Schlitz, Ausburger, Erlinger, Old Style, Lone Star, Old Milwaukee, Red River, Signature, and Stroh's Ice Cream.
This is a good joke. Talks about an old yeah, it's great. Irish couple.
And I love the accent
I would
uses.
Like you to give me a blowjob. Now that's what I've been missing. She's filthy.
She did and a... she just won all yep. of his friends over.
By doing a BJ joke.
Yep.
Just like you won all my friends over by having boobs.
It's not hard. Your friends are easy.
It's true. I did. Because no one's ever heard of me. I don't know what accent that was.
Why?
I went into Alan Rickman for a second.
It's bad.
No one's ever
what's the point he's trying to make?
Heard of Gerald Lambeau. He's trying to prove that, like I haven't done shit. And this kid is so much better than me. And he could be so much more, but he needs to be pushed to do it. And Sean is like, he's still very damaged, and I want to work with him more. I don't think pushing him is the right idea.
Mm. I always sort of walked away from this movie with the impression that because he didn't amount to anything and no one knew who Gerald Lambeau was, that if he was this kid's mentor and the kid was his protégé,
he would get protégé,
that he would get the recognition. Yes, so there's definitely a selfish piece of it. Yep. And I think that's why the power struggle persists so much, because Sean's like, dude, give it the fuck up.
It's not about you.
Right.
Harvard Square.
Hello, Square.
That newsstand.
Gone.
It is?
I think so. Oh, no.
No. Out of
town news?
Something
about it changed. Something about it changed.
It's called Out of Town News. I used to buy...
Kelly, look stuff up on Google. You crock.
I used to buy so many magazines at that place on the way to work.
Out of Town News.
I would buy wrestling magazines, and I would read them as I was manning the...
Closed.
Oh, fuck.
September 16th, 2019.
God damn it. I would read my wrestling magazines as I was manning the concession stand on like a dead Tuesday or whatever. I used to love Harvard Square.
Mm-hmm.
The newsstand was great. There was a place called Lee's Sandwich Shop that I used to get burgers at all the time when I would go on break. And their burgers were amazing.
Hmm. Remember Charlie's Kitchen?
Charlie's Kitchen was awesome. That's still there, I think. I thought at Oscar time, Matt Damon got robbed.
Who was he up against?
Well, he lost to Jack Nicholson in As Good As It Gets.
Hmm. Jack was good, but Jack was Jack.
Jack was Jack.
Jack played Jack.
Precisely.
Yeah.
This was Matt Damon's, like, breakout performance.
Yeah.
So she's trying to get him to move to California, and he just lashes out because he doesn't want to be challenged.
He lashes out irrationally.
Irrationally.
Well, he picks a fight. He does what most people do when they don't want to be challenged.
Right.
They deflect by picking a fight to put the other person on the defensive and be like, ooh, well, yeah, your farts smell bad.
You have money.
Do something about that.
Right. And then...
you know what I've always noticed? Your teeth are gross.
Because you're English.
And also, your name is dumb.
Skylar.
Skylar.
Wow.
Skylar.
Are you a 1962 Buick Skylark? Because Marissa Tomei had you figured out in 1992, so fuck you.
Also, eyebrows. I don't know why I went that way. I don't know why I turned into Marissa Tomei.
Because eyebrow trends in 1992 were different than 97? Okay. Sure. Why don't you go bang Joe Pesci, Skylock?
They were.
I know they
92,
were.
92, eyebrows were bigger.
I know.
And then they went to the...
They got tiny in 97. I know. 90s. And then he says, I don't love you because it's easier to just walk away for him.
Yep. It's a painful scene because, number one, you can see that he's clearly lying.
He's lying.
Yes. And number two, she is so fucking hurt.
Yep. She's ugly crying.
Yeah.
Minnie Driver does an ugly cry face.
Yep.
She turns into a duck.
Okay.
It's one of a series of scenes in this movie where he just lashes out against everyone who gives a shit about him.
It's the first of many. It's the
first of many. And
yeah.
It's like everyone starts challenging him and he's like, no, fuck you. I don't want to be challenged. I just want to go back to my safe little stupid life.
Right. And you get sad because he was like finally opening up
right.
and sort of
he was starting
letting
to make progress.
People in and make progress. Yeah.
Right.
Like, okay, I'll be friends with Sean, and okay, I'll hang out with Skylar and open up to her a little bit.
Okay, I'll let this Gerald Lambo actually mentor me.
Right.
But now things are about to go south for everyone.
Can I call him Barreled Bambo?
Barreled Bambo. No, you can't.
You're not the boss of my body.
I thought you were going to be like, you almost agreed to it.
What made you change your mind at the last minute?
Because it's stupid.
Hello, Barreled Bambo.
Barreled Bambo? It doesn't sound like a real person, that's why.
Why does he have an entire dozen of pears?
Dozen of pears?
Look! He's a dozen pears.
Well, pears are delicious, Kelly.
That's too many pears for one person's desk.
That would last him 2 weeks.
Is he like, hey, come in, have a pear to every person who
hey,
sits
Kelly,
at his desk?
Maybe, just maybe. Each of those pears is in a different stage of ripeness. And as we all know about pears, they're ripe for about 2 hours and then you have to throw them out.
No, that's avocados. Pears last a day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So he goes to the store every day and buys a pear so that he has 12 days worth of pears.
One pear, just so he can replenish the one that he just ate.
Mr. Lambo really needs a better approach to shopping. Barreled Bambo.
Barreled Bambo needs to find better pears. And oddly, his initials are a pair of bees. So right here is a very revealing scene too. One of the reasons that Will pushes back against the whole mathematics job thing and why he doesn't take it seriously is because it's so easy for him that he doesn't think that there's any like merit to it. He's like, why would I want to work in mathematics when it's a joke to me? Whereas doing construction is actually difficult work, so he feels like that's more noble because it's hard.
And it's cool that he has enough, I mean, it's not integrity, right? Because he's not being integritous with himself.
Well, he's sort of, in his mind, he is.
Right, but...
He thinks it's an integrity thing.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, he's not being true to himself because he's blocking things that could potentially change his life.
Yeah.
But... you know, if he were any other Southie kid, he'd probably be like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, I'll take this job.
Here's the scene where he puts off Sean because Sean is the last guy that
That believes him.
Can get through to him. And Sean finally is like, dude, what do you want in life? What do you want to do? And he has no answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to be a janitor? And he's like, because there's honor in that. And Sean is like, why is there honor in that? Like, just because it's hard for you? So why do you want to be at MIT then?
Yeah. Like, why, if you're going to be a janitor, why not do it like in the basement of some crappy building?
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure it has nothing to do with honor.
That's pretty deep.
You think it does.
Right. It's a deep question, though.
It is. Why do you go and secretly finish people's math problems for them?
Right. You must like the math enough.
Right. And he asks him what he really wants to do, and Will puts him off with some comedy. I want to be a shepherd. And Sean's like, no, this is a bullshit answer. I don't want to hear that. Get out. And there it is, defense mechanism.
Yep.
Look at you, loser. Your wife's dead. Just look at me. What do you want to do?
Right.
Will has no answer for that, so he just freezes.
And he's like, you have a bullshit answer for literally everything, but I ask you the most simple question right. in the world, and you got nothing.
So here's another scene where someone challenges him, and it's his best friend, Chucky. And he's like, why the fuck aren't you doing anything? You have something none of us have, and mm-hmm. you are just sitting on it because you're a pussy. And this is one of the scenes that chokes you up, because I don't know how it is for women, but for men, men don't challenge each other like this, in my experience anyway.
Yeah.
Men are so comfortable in their little rut with their friends that it's like, okay, cool.
Well, and their friends are their escape.
I'm not going to lose my friend.
Right.
No guy friend would ever say, you are better than this, and you disgust me that you don't see it.
I mean, the hope is that somebody would say that to you at some point.
Yes, and I wish more people did.
Mm.
And so for me, like, this scene chokes me up because I'm like, I never had friends like this that would just be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Just do this.
That's what makes it a super meaningful scene, though. I think, and honestly, right. for, like, girls don't do this a ton either.
No. But I feel like everyone...
And when they do, there's always this undercut more, of like, she's jealous of me. That's why. That's why she wants me to leave, because yeah. she wants my boyfriend. I actually don't believe that that's exactly what it sounds like. That's really just to make Justin laugh, because I know it will work. But no, girls, in my experience, don't feel comfortable enough to do that because girls hate being judged.
Yeah.
And so what it comes across as is instead of support and like a push,
right.
it comes across as I've judged you.
Right.
And you suck.
Right.
That's how it comes across.
And guys have no problem judging each other, but not in a serious way.
Right.
Guys judge each other in a sarcastic...
On stupid shit.
Like, I'm going for laughs kind of way.
Right.
And not nearly enough guy friends say, seriously, you have something that none of us have, and if you don't do something with it, you are insulting the rest of us.
Right. I mean, I think it helps that, like,
and
they
like,
grew up together.
Yeah. Very few people grow up with somebody and then stay
and
friends
then become
with them
an adult.
Into their 20s.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you grow up with them and then they peel off in high school and then
right.
you start a new group and then
right.
they peel off and
exactly.
you have a college group and then they peel off and you have your grown-up
I've
friends.
I've never had a group of friends like that. I would say the
And so I love that Gerald Lambeau comes to him and goes, this boy is very fragile. And he's like, really? What makes you say that?
I think...
Gerald Bambo.
Wow. So I've never had that friend like Ben Affleck where... You know, once you get to your 40s, you're like, I wish I had someone who would challenge me that way. So here's the real blow-up scene between Gerald Beryl Bambo.
Thank you.
And Bon Beguire.
Doesn't work for Bon.
Doesn't.
No.
Sean Shaguire.
That's so much better. Shashire. Maybe she should go get a Smushmorseman at the Smushmorseman Clinic.
Wobbin Williams.
That's not his name in the movie.
This right here is the scene that makes you want to fucking ball into your napkin.
Mm-hmm.
Even more so after what happened to Robin Williams, where they share abuse stories. And then he just says, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Finally gets through to him on an emotional level.
Yep.
With four simple words.
Hey, Beryl Bambo, math cannot solve that problem.
How would you map out that equation? It's not your fault plus seven times equals waterfalls.
And so Will gets a job and a car?
He doesn't get a job. He gets offered a job, but then
right. and he turns it down to go to California.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to go see about a girl.
He's going to go see about a girl. And then Chucky gets his moment where he's like, oh my God, Will's not here.
Hey, Will! Where did you go?
I don't like the absence of that, Will. What am I going to do? Hey, Morgan. Morgan!
Oh my God, Morgan!
Morgan gets to sit in the front seat now?
He's got that Southie mouth breather thing going on.
Hey, Morgan. Stop. Will's not here. I guess you're going to sit in the front seat now.
That wet mouth breathing sounds like to you.
Yep. There's an exhibit about it at the Museum of Science.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. And you know the night is always going to be here anyway.
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 Hey, afternoon delight. So, P&Izers.
We haven't landed on a name for that yet. P&Izers isn't bad.
For our audience.
P&Izers.
P&Izers.
Peenies.
Peenies?
No.
Parents Night Innies.
I like...
We hope you enjoyed this jaunt into Boston lore.
The first of the big Boston movies. Did Mystic River happen after this?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was really like kind of the first
that of Boston Eastie. Movies. That was
Eastie. But this one like opened up the
it
door.
Did. It did.
And then we had The Town.
That was 2010.
Which was Charlestown.
Charlestown. But before that, we had The Departed.
And you know what was mixed in somewhere in there?
My Best Friend's Girl.
Yes. No. I wasn't even thinking about that one. But yes, that one too.
That doesn't count.
Bride Wars.
That doesn't count either. We hope you've enjoyed...
Parlaying Boston Inglés.
Parlaying Boston Inglés, dude.
Hey.
Hey.
Pop-Tot.
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 Soda Pop.
Soda Pop.
Boston.
Boston. Dorchester.
Don't call it Beantown.
Don't. Call it Beantown.
Why are you just copying me now?
Fuck. Hey.
Wait.
Want to get some pizza and beans?
I think what you probably wanted to say was pizza and beers.
No, I wanted to say pizza and beans.
Want
to
get a pizza and a beer?
Hey.
I'll have sangria and a taco.
I'm going to have diarrhea and dysentery.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.